The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Good morning, comic book fans. It's Tuesday, March 31st. Welcome back to Morning Comics, Brightside Chat. Today, we've got a little bit of like, you got your peanut butter and my chocolate type deal here, because we have the Brightside Chat and Indie Alley. Two great tastes taste great together. Freddie, how we doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I don't know how I feel about getting out of bed this early for this, but we'll see.
Yeah, hey, I really appreciate it, you know. Look at you. You're even using the camera and everything. I could see you. You're all spiffy and rolled out of bed. You look great. Martin wouldn't even use his camera.
No, I know that for a fact because I've done a podcast with him. that's factual.
Yep. That's it. He said, no cameras for me. I don't know. Is he in the witness protection program or something?
I know that he is Sicilian as well as I am, so that might be a thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but you used the camera.
Yeah, I'm not afraid.
Yeah, no. I was actually looking forward to meeting him face-to-face, and nope, I just got nothing. Blank screen. Oh, well. Some other time. So, how are you doing? How's everything out there with the whole, virus?
Man, it's crazy. We're getting hit pretty hard here in Michigan. I live in Metro Detroit, so my county isn't the same county as Detroit, but it's right next to it. It's a neighboring county, and we have over 1,000 some people right now, and it's a little scary, especially with, as you well know, that like my oldest son has some health concerns, so
yeah,
that's what's scary for us. But we just play that hand word out. Let's get it.
So how do you manage that? Like, are you leaving the house? Are you able to leave the house and stuff?
We only leave to get, because all the jobs are shut down here unless you're essential. Like, we leave to get like medications from pharmacies, or we go and pick up groceries. But even when we pick up groceries, we place an online order and someone brings them out to your car so we can get them that way. To be a little safer, but yeah, that's it.
So is that for everybody out there, or is that something that you can, like, you guys request that because you need that extra level of protection?
Anyone can use that. You just paid, like, we pay $5 more for that. So for $5 for somebody to pick up all the groceries that I choose, absolutely, let's get it.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I think that's a good investment. I mean, especially that I can, what's it take them, like 2 minutes to put it in my car at most? So, yeah.
That's good.
You've never used that before?
No, I've never used it. I actually, I try to go to the grocery store every day. It's a little habit I picked up when my son was in high school. But in our house, I'm not worried about bringing anything back to the house. You know, if we get sick, I kind of expect that we will at some point, and I'm not trying to protect anybody in the house where you are, and that would be scary to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing, is the fear of the unknown, but I mean, just got to play the hand you're dealt. Some people fold, other people keep playing.
Yep, great way to look at it. That sounds great. yeah, good for you.
Oh, I'm sorry that's blunt and somebody might take it the wrong way, but that's how I live.
Yep. Nope. I understand. And that's the way you want to live. And I mean, people that take it the wrong way, that's their choice too.
Right.
So, all right. Let's get to some comics. Let's get to something a little uplifting, because that's what people are coming here for. That's what I'm trying to do. We're trying to get people to not forget about their local comic book store. Right. We've got a great book to talk about today. I don't know if it's necessarily uplifting, the title alone, like Undone by Blood, or it's actually Undone by Blood or The Shadow of a Wanted Man, Aftershock Comics. You're the indie guy. Did you know about this book before it came out? Did you have any insight? What drew you to this book?
Well, the first thing that drew to me was that it's published by Aftershock. And I think I had like a preview copy of it. So I knew that it was coming out, but I'm not much into like reading PDFs. But I was super excited when I found out that who was writing it was Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson. And then the art was by Sammy Cavella, which Sammy mm-hmm. does some tremendous art. He's done art for Abbott, which was a Boom Studios book, which was really good. And then it was based on like a detective in Detroit. And then he also did the art for Tommy Gun Wizards, which I'm not sure if it's even called Tommy Gun Wizards. I think they had to drop the Tommy Gun. But that was a great book, too, by I think Dark Horse did that book. So his art is really good. And when I got this book, man, I was super excited. This book is like it takes place in like the 1970s. It's our main character is like Ethel Grady. She's like, I think she's 18. I think that's what they said the most recent issue.
Yeah, it opens up and on the first page tells you it starts in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on in the book, you find out she's 18. She says it at some point.
Right. And what I like about this book is, you know, that this book is, it's a revenge story because Ethel's parents, everyone is murdered. And she's hunting for the murderer. And what I didn't expect when I read this book was there's a second story.
Right.
I was unaware of that. And it was like an Old West, like a gunslinger. I think his name is like Solomon Easton or something like that. I think.
Yeah.
And she kind of like reads this book throughout her chase and stuff. And over the issue, she becomes more and more like Solomon Easton, which I think is really cool because she's starting to tie in, like she's emulating what he's doing in the book, which is, I think, is cool.
Yeah. What I liked is, you want to talk spoiler free for a bit?
Sure.
And do you want to talk spoilers after? And we can, I don't know, you know how we lock the door.
Yeah. Yeah. We can do that.
Because I'd really like to promote the book for people that haven't read it. But yeah, there's two stories. It's in the title, Undone by Blood or Shadow of a Wanted Man. And that's what she's reading. And the artwork is different. The lettering, if you're reading what she's reading, it's typed like you'd be reading a book, mm-hmm. right? And I thought that was really cool. But like you said about the story, I didn't get the idea that she was trying to copy him. I just felt like their two circumstances mirrored each other, and I'm wondering how they're going to overlay later. Like, we're two books into this. How many books is this? Do you know? I forget if it was one of five or
my guess is it's usually five issues. Like, okay. Aftershock likes to do like five issue arcs. Sometimes they end at five. Sometimes they come back after, you know, for a second arc.
Oh, okay. But yeah, after two books, I after the first book, I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, the artwork I thought was really, really good. And I really just love that. I love the Western feel.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place in, not like we said, 1971, but it also takes, is it Arizona or New Mexico? I think.
Yeah. I believe the city's called Sweetheart, Arizona. I'm not sure if that's an actual city. I asked Andrew on our podcast and he said, I don't think so, but he was like, you never know.
Yeah. Not one that he's heard of anyway.
Right. Yeah, it takes place in like Sweetheart, Arizona. But like what you bring about, like the 70s, for me, the art and the colors in this book definitely scream 70s. And I get like even like in the 70s, I know Westerns were a big thing too, because I remember like my dad always watched spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah.
In the 80s, like the old Clint Eastwood stuff and things like that. And I'm wondering if book is going to become, you know, closer to that style of like a spaghetti Western.
Maybe. I felt like actually there's that Shadow of a Wanted Man. I kept hearing like Bon Jovi in my head, Wanted Dead or Alive, or what was the one? Blaze of Glory. While I was reading it, I was hearing those two songs in my head. And I actually looked up the two songs and was looking for, I thought maybe that was one of the lyrics in the songs, but it's not. But I love the Western feel. I love, like when I first read it, I got that, I think I even said in our podcast when I talked about it, like that Lone Ranger feel. Because I read Lone Ranger a little while ago. But I really like you said, the colors, the two different stories, mm-hmm. like I said before. And when she's reading, it's kind of almost a monochromatic look, like a purpley monochromatic look. And then the reality of her life is a little bit more, I don't know what you'd call it. It's a little bit more vibrant, but yeah, still has that Western feel.
Yeah, it's more like the color tones of the color palette of like the 70s show. Like if you remember watching like the 70s show, or like if your grandma had one of those couches that were green with yellow and things like that. It kind of like that pattern. But yeah, and especially like she's rocking that, I believe like a Lou Reed shirt. So I mean, how many people did that? So
yeah,
that's scream 70s.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
But like when you mentioned like, the book of it, like where it felt like a certain song or a book. For me, this book felt like there's a revenge book that was written by Christopher Sabella called Shanghai Red, and it feels a lot like it's heading that way, that direction, which Red was a female character who revenged. She was after revenge the whole book, and I'm just happy that Aftershock is putting that type of book out right now with this character. I hope that I know in Shanghai Red, there was a lot of murders and things like this. Like this girl was really tough. And I have a feeling Ethel, I mean, she did get in a few scrums, but I think she's going to toughen up further along in the story.
Yeah, there's definitely a few instances that we could talk about when we talk spoilers mm-hmm. that shows her toughness. Like you said, there's a few scrums, but I'm wondering, like I said, I'm just really interested, and I think it's a great read because it keeps you on the edge of your seat, because I'm really interested to see how these two stories are going to intersect, if they intersect, meaning the one she's reading and her own life. There's got to be a reason that they wrote this way, mm-hmm. and I find it fascinating that through their creative process of, you know, the writer thinking to even write a comic this way. That part is really intriguing to me. That makes me want to go on. Never mind the entire story itself.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like Lonnie Nadler and Zach Thompson, both of them have done a few books with their writing, a few Aftershock books. And even I think Lonnie has his own book out currently called like Black Stars Above, which are really deep books. Like these guys are deep thinkers. So, you know, this has been well thought out. And even at the end, like we get the few pages of like, it's written like a novel, like we're reading.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah.
Is
it's so well written.
Yeah. The amount of work and thought that they put into any of their books is crazy to me, because it just sucks you in. You become part of that world, and I don't know how not to spoil anything right now.
I know. I'll say one last thing in response to what you said before we lock the door. I'll say that when I was reading this, my wife came into the living room and she sat down, and I'm reading these books. I was rereading them for this morning's podcast, and she ended up getting up and leaving because I was so concentrated. I was so into the books. And if you're reading, like you said, those last few pages that are written like a novel, you're just so engrossed that everything around you goes away. It's so well written. There were times I was thinking, wow, this is not a comic book. It was so well written. And I was so engrossed that my wife was like, I'm going upstairs. You don't even know I'm around.
It's definitely a good book. I definitely recommend it. I really believe into pushing independent comics only because it's a way that writers can tell their own stories creatively without, they have more of control and they get to write what they want to write. And you can tell like just by reading these first two issues that this group of guys are having a lot of fun with this book.
Yeah, indie comics, and it's one of the things that I've learned since starting back into comics and talking to you guys and listening to your podcast and talking with John every week. I'm learning that, like, the agendas, and it's when you get this in depth into comics, you're learning there's different agendas, and that's, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it's nice to have both. You know, mm-hmm. You go to indie and you have less of an agenda, and you see some, I don't want to say true art, because I think it's all art, and that's not fair to either side, but it's a different kind of art. It's a different kind of medium where people can express it a little differently. And it's, you're right. This is a lot of fun. This book is a lot of fun. I like you said, I can't wait to get to some spoilers here. So right. Why don't we, we'll lock the door and we're going to spoil it on up. Okay. If you don't know what that means, you'll hear it in a second. We're going to lock the door. And then if you haven't read this book, pause now, stop now, because once that door is locked, we're going to be talking spoilers. That's it for you, and you're waiting to read the book, come back, and we'll see you then. And so let's lock. I'm not used to this. John's usually here to lock the door. Now I got to find the damn keys. All right, let's talk spoilers. What's the first spoiler you want to shout? I'll let you do it. I'm usually the first one to do it. I'll let you spoil something.
Well, my spoiler would have to be, like, who is this guy at the end of issue 2? Is that Zane
going
guy?
Right to the end.
Yeah, because I want, you know, like, we see the part where the guy has the cutoff jeans and kind of...
He's wearing the jorts and cowboy boots. Nice. Yeah,
he looks like, who is that guy? Dog, the bounty hunter, kind of. Like, yeah. He's dressed like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, do you think that's the guy that they showed at the last panel of issue 2?
Yeah. So
that's Zane?
I think that's Zane because, well, first off, he actually, those boots and those spurs show up on page, like, 3 of book 1.
Oh, wow.
And I think, so go to, like, page 3 on book 1, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think it's page 3. Maybe not. Let me see, because there's no page numbers here. Let me show you this page right here on book 1.
Okay.
It's on the left-hand side. And if you look in the background of the panels, they're kind of drawn in gray. Do you see the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's the same panel where he's by, like, the soda machine that he's got the same boots.
She's at the soda machine at the top. She's getting some items. She picks up she's got the little American flag looking thing. Mm-hmm. She's got a Swiss Army knife in a square in one of the panels.
Yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
Look in the background and you'll see it's her flashing back and you'll see that boot with the gold spur, mm-hmm. but everything's in black and white except for the red eye and the gold spur.
Yeah.
And then there's one below that with a gold spur and then the red from the blood, but you see the guy's face.
Yeah.
Those panels are a flashback. I think that's her father being killed.
Yeah, I think so too, because
by those spurs. Those spurs show up throughout that. Those spurs are the ones that, remember later on, I think, is it in this book, in book 1, that those spurs show up when she gets, like, knocked out? Remember she gets beat up by those guys at the bar and dragged outside, and that guy takes her bag?
Yes.
And the guy that takes the bag says, oh, it's you again, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's him at the end of book 2 with her bag and those spurs.
You know, I didn't even put that together until...
Yeah, that's what
I
mean.
You really did study these books.
I love looking at those, like, that artwork in the background and stuff, and you see those little things, and it's like it has a meaning. They're putting that there on purpose.
It's the hidden gems to lead you along. Like,
and the funny thing is, it's like, so it turns out, like, is he the captain of the football team? And it's like, giant spoiler, why are they leading you down the road that the captain of the football team killed her father and killed their family?
But see,
you know what I mean?
Right. Because he doesn't look like a captain of a football team. He looks like a 40-year-old man.
Yeah, I know. But the information that they're giving you is that it's supposed, you know, the captain of the football team's the one that organized everything at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that's going on,
right? That's what
they're leading you in.
The pool cleaner said, right?
Yeah, like
she was leading her to believe.
Yeah. Right. And on the last page, they show you the last page of two, where it says to be continued. You have the middle of the Pentagon. The middle Pentagon, you see the boots mm-hmm. with the spurs. And then the Pentagon around it split in two. He's got the bag on the left side and on like a football shirt, number 41 on the right side.
Right, but that shirt actually looks like a soccer shirt. So do they mean football as in soccer?
Maybe. I don't, maybe. It yeah. says Zane 41 on the back.
Right.
And then he's standing, then the entire thing is another Pentagon. And he's standing there and they show a full body shot of him and he's holding a sickle.
Yep.
So is he just some kind of a nut job that, I don't know.
I mean, you gotta be if you're dressing like that in the right.
I guess I don't know. Wear shorts like that in style. I don't know.
Well, it is the 70s.
Yeah, I know. There's so much intrigue to this. There's so many little nuggets throughout this that's just that story. Then you have the actual shadow of a wanted man story. That this guy has got to go and get his son back.
Yeah. That story right there, I need to read some more to dig in deeper because I feel like I'm missing things from that story, you know, because I'm more into the actual story of Ethel and her family. And I feel like if I don't read it more closely with the cowboy stuff, I'm going to miss out on a lot of stuff. A lot of nuggets. Like you just pointed out, the cowboy boots. I mean, that's crazy. I got to tell Andrew about this.
Oh, there's more. There's more. The cliffhangers at the transitions.
Mm-hmm.
When they go from one story and flip to the next story, they'll have a halfway decent cliffhanger there.
Yep.
And it gets, you know, like you'll turn the page and you'll want more. And oh, no, they're going back to A Shadow of a Wanted Man. And right in the middle of the story, you're like, oh, my God. But now you're intrigued by that. And then you come back to the other story. They're doing a really good job at that.
Yeah. To me, I think I described it on our podcast that it felt like the transitioning of this felt like almost like a Tarantino movie to me. Like how Quentin Tarantino would. Or even like a Robert Rodriguez movie, like he would just like move things along that you would get sucked in and then something else crazy was happening in another part of like the story. And I was like, oh, man.
I think I heard you say that. I know I heard you say that. And I remember where I was when I heard you say it. And I'm like, you are dead on. And at the time I was like, this would make a great. Didn't you even compare it to Dusk to Dawn?
Yeah, I think Andrew did. Like when I mentioned it, he was like, no, like Dusk Till Dawn. I was like, oh, that's a great one because Tarantino and Rodriguez are friends. And
right.
I think I said all we needed was Selma Hayek and we'd be good.
Yeah, exactly. You could see them turning this into a movie. It'd be really cool to flip back and forth.
Yeah.
Too. It's getting to, how tough she is. So she gets into some scraps, but my thing that I did, where she tries to go Rambo style from First Blood and stitch herself up, and that scene in book one, where she's like, you know, she's got the needle out and everything, and she's actually, did she do that in book one?
Yeah, that's book one because book two is she's already in jail.
Right. And he questions her about it. But she never actually, you find out in book two, she never actually stitches herself because he questions her at the beginning and said, you're about to stitch yourself up or whatever it was. But she had the needle out. She was ready to go, heating it up, trying to stitch her own face up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is a tough girl. And I like how nobody in the story knows who she is. And she's only a year older, but she cut her hair.
Yeah, that's a little crazy. Think that because when she approached those guys at the bar, like they pretend like they didn't know and stuff, and even the cop didn't know, which is a little weird because if something like a murder, you know, some family was murdered and stuff, you would think that they would people would remember that. That's something huge. I mean, how often does that happen in that community then?
Right. The only thing I would say is that they probably don't expect her to be back. You know what I mean? Like, so she's back, she's a year older and she cut her hair. So they're probably like, when you see that, you're not like, oh, that's that girl from last year. You would never expect to see that girl again.
Right.
And here she is. The one person that knew who she was that guy with the spurred you know, cowboy boots. Mm-hmm. And when she was laying on the ground, he said, "Oh, it's you." And he grabbed her bag.
Wow. Yeah, this is a great book. Just you pointing out that stuff, I need to read it again after I get off here, because I'm going to actually, when I get issue 3, whenever it comes out, with
is this
the
bi-week every 2 weeks? I think it is, because we just did one a couple weeks ago and 2 came out this past week.
Yeah, but also with like the publishing aspects happening right now.
Oh, that's right, too. Yeah, we're not getting it for a while.
Yeah, when 3 drops, I'm going to read 1, 2, and 3, so it runs much smoother, and then I can pay attention to these transitions, because it's a crazy ride. But did you get the feeling like this cop, he's hiding some things because he's hiding some things, but he kind of let her know where these things were taking place? Like, he all of a sudden, like, he mentions the name of the hotel or the bar.
Yeah, and goes like, "Oh crap."
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Right. Yeah, like, he's not that dumb. He doesn't look like Barney Fife to me.
No. And it's,
or do you think he's setting her up?
I don't know. I don't know. And that's what's great. This could go in so many directions. Mm-hmm. In book 1, you're not really sure what's going on and why her family was murdered, obviously.
Right.
By the end of book 2, the idea they give you seems kind of weird. Like, it's the football captain? That's weird. How is that going to... And it has a drug issue, too. There's a big dealing drugs in the town or something is what they're alluding to right now. It's just weird how is this going to tie into the story she's reading, and why is the town so mysterious in the 70s? It's all very realistic and grounded. It's, you know, if all of a sudden a monster pops out in book 3, I'll kind of be upset. You know, like, I don't want that out of this book. This book seems too realistic, too grounded for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to know more. Like,
yeah,
it, like you mentioned, like the crazy, the things that are happening in this town, like they mentioned that underage kids are having sex at this hotel and stuff, and people know about that, right?
Right.
And like, they're okay with that, like underage drinking and sex parties and things like that. And the hotel owners know about that. Like, it makes you wonder who's hiding this murder or what was the reason for it and things like that. Like, you're having my wheels start turning right now. Like, I'm trying to come up with some ideas, right?
Yeah. The undertones in book 2 make it seem like a high school football town gone bad for a night. And her family got murdered because of a bad high school football party. And it's like, that doesn't make sense. Families don't get murdered because of a bad high school football party. But that's kind of the undertones that they give you out of book 2, which makes it, to me, even more intriguing.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention was the other story, The Shadow of a Wanted Man. We already mentioned earlier that it ends kind of in a novel form. Mm-hmm. Both books end with like a few, like a chapter of a novel in it, right? Right. In book 1, I wanted to get your idea comments on how they ended 1 and 2. They end 1, edge of your seat, old Western interaction.
Yes.
These guys approach him and he's on the ground asleep, but he's really good with his hands. He's good with the gun. But it's on the edge of your seat because you don't know what, is he going to get shot? We don't know if this is a main character or not. So it's really, really well written, like you said. And you're like, this is like a real novel. Mm-hmm. But then book 2, the last few pages, again, written like a novel, it's not on the edge of your seat. It's 2 guys cleaning up the mess from book 1. Taking the book, I'm sorry, not cleaning up the mess from book 1. Book 2 picks up right from there. He hooks up with another guy. I kind of likened it to like when Tom Cruise meets Robert Duvall in Days of Thunder, the old guy meet, you know, or old partner or something like that. I can help you out type deal. They get into a scuffle, a bunch of people die, and the end of book 2 is just them cleaning up that mess, right? And it's like, yeah, you're reading it going, this is weird, this is a little different. But the way that ended was so powerful because the older guy, I can't remember his name, the older guy talking to him, basically this entire story at the end of book two was a setup for that old man, that older man to say, hey, I'll go with you, but if I die, I don't want to go out like this.
Yeah.
You know what? And it's like, I was blown away by that ending because you're like that entire, and it like, they're just taking these guys that they had just killed, the bodies, and they're just throwing them in a pile. And now all of that mundane chore that they just did was drawn out just to end it that he doesn't want to go out this way. And I thought that was really powerful how they set you up. They're looking at them and he's like, I don't want this to happen to me. You got to bury me and cross me is what he actually said.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. That's what draws you in. It's like the roller coaster ride. Like you're up, you're down, you're going, like that keeps you moving. And also, like, just while you were saying that, I was looking at the last paragraph of issue two, and the guy's name was Willard Kane, and I was like, wait, what's the name of the bad guy in the first story? And it's Waylon Zane, and I'm like, that's close in names.
Yeah.
Yeah, so wow. It's making me wonder, like, you know, like, I think they're going to, like, merge. These stories are going to merge somehow. Like, there's... I feel like that's what the swerve is, like these characters somehow merge, but I hope I'm wrong, but I mean, either way, it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I actually don't hope you're wrong. There's got to be a merge somehow, like you said, a swerve into that, and I don't know, but there's so much depth to this, to this entire story, both of these stories.
Yeah.
And I found it to be very, very unique. I don't know of any other books written this way.
No, I mean, well, they have written a few, like Black Stars Above. He kind of, Lonnie Nadler pens like, you know, like two or three pages just like this at the end of each chapter.
Yeah, but the two stories intertwined, though?
No, the only thing that I get like that is I feel like the book Bang, in a way, is leading that way. Have you read Bang?
Yes,
I read
Bang 1. I really liked it, too.
Right, and then issue 2, they kind of, like, talk about another book that happens, but the characters are mean. Like, it shows things that are happening in that story, but another story's taking a place. I feel like that's a little kind of like this, but this is Western, so, I mean, I feel like this one's much deeper than Bang.
Yeah, I'll have to read 2. Do I have Bang 2? I might. I just went through all my books. I have a bunch that I haven't even read.
Was it? That's what you do when you're quarantined, right?
Yep. That's right.
Yeah, mine is tomorrow I start reading some more.
Same here. Same here.
Today's a free day for me.
Nice. Well, you're going to have to go back through and do Undone Blood 1 and 2 again.
Yeah, I'm actually going to do it after I get off of here and then read it, get it fresh in my mind because, man, you're pointing out some good things in here that I didn't quite notice, but I read so many books that some things I just move along quickly, you know?
Yeah, I do the same thing and it's fun every now and then. It actually, to me, shows how good some writing is. Because when you read as many books, you probably read more books than I do, but when you read as many books as we do, sometimes they just don't hook you. But when one does, it takes something to hook you. And for this book, it's like to get that engrossed into the story, that's a credit to the writers, you know, and of any of these books that all of a sudden you're like, the writer is the one that's making me look into that background. The art is making me look into the background. Mm-hmm. The way they contrasted those panels, that's why that one that I mentioned where the black and white panels that are, they're hidden behind the main panels. Mm-hmm. But that contrast really just like me, what's this back here? And for most of book one, I was like, what did that mean? And then it's answered if you keep paying attention to the spurs and the boots. As you go through, you'll see that spur, like I said, those three that I mentioned, but there's more of those spurs really showing up. And you're like, that's the clues all the way through. Right. And there's other things too, but yeah, it's fun. Such a fun book.
It is. It is. And I like books that make me think and question things. And this is, I think, why I enjoy this book so much.
Yep. All right. Anything else?
No.
You're dying to get back into the book, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit. And I don't want you to get too hangry. I know you said you haven't had breakfast.
Yeah. There you go. Right.
See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
And then I worked on, because I know you guys are PG, like something we say just things, and I don't think you'll have to drop anything that say, whoa, language. I'm sure I was the one that kind of scared you, because we use a lot of language.
No, you were great. I had, when Dr. Joe was on, he told me, I would say he swore to me that he wouldn't swear, but that's kind of funny to use those two words.
Right.
But he's like, I'll be good. I'm going to be good. And you know, following Dr. Joe yeah. on Twitch, he's yeah. very colorful, very entertaining.
Yeah.
But yeah, we try to be PG here because I want a place, and I've said this before, but I like the idea that you can have this on in the car or something with your kids. And not be like, uh-oh, if the language goes in a direction that you start to get the sweats because your kid's in the car, your daughter's right. in the car.
Right.
And I, you know, that kind of like we do, we're hanging out in a comic book store. And you wouldn't, not that I don't swear, but when I'm in public, I'm not going to start talking like a sailor in a comic book store with little kids around. So
Right, yeah.
But you were great. I really appreciate that. It's it's funny how people notice it about our podcast, and then everybody that's come on has mentioned, I won't swear. I was like, really? Is it that hard?
It's not that hard. You get fired up on topics or something, but this was something I really enjoyed, so I didn't have to use those type of adjectives.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, I've actually accidentally dropped a couple myself. John does every now and then, and I do it. I enjoy it when it happens because it's fun to put the sounders in. You know, like once we came up with those, I told John, I'll let it go. You know.
Yeah. What was it? Your most recent one? I think it was. Was it Martin? No, I think it was Martin when he said something, and it was something different. Like you cut in with something else. I was like, what is this?
I cut in with the, I have two different sounders. I have language, which is Captain America, Steve Rogers.
Uh-huh.
And it's all from that same scene at the beginning of, Age of Ultron.
Okay.
And the one that I use for Martin, I use that every now and then just to change things up and keep people on their toes. It's Tony Stark.
Yes.
Saying, watch the gosh darn language. You know, it's a little different, something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is exactly. Yeah, but
I remember because I was working out, and then I heard it, and I was like, wait, did I accidentally hit my phone, and it went to a different podcast? And then it cut back in. I was like, oh, that's nifty.
Yeah, it's a little – that one's a little bit longer.
Yeah.
It's a little bit longer of a cut-in. The Steve Rogers one's perfect because it's just language.
Yeah.
You know.
But, yeah, thanks for having me on. I had a lot of fun. Hopefully I didn't take up too much of your time.
No, I love it. Love it. We got to do this. We peek under the stairs here into the studio. We had a very long conversation before we even started recording. great conversation. I got to have you back, and we got to get on with John. And just maybe in the next couple of weeks, I don't know if you're available on Wednesday nights when we record, but you have a great insight to comics. I had listening to your podcast. Definitely we got to get together more often because that was just that conversation before we even recorded was a blast. So I really appreciate you coming on. It's great.
I enjoyed myself. I'm looking at the time right now, and I was like, man, we've been on here for like an hour and almost 40 minutes.
Yeah, just and talking.
I told my wife that we would be quicker than normal.
Yeah, I know. I said the same thing. Yeah, so my breakfast is getting cold.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let me ask you, you're the first person that I want to get this out to because nobody else I've asked. My interviewing, and I heard you say this a few weeks ago, you're not good at interviewing, so you don't interview people. I'm actually trying to get better at it. So here we go. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Comics Fred. That's where you can find
me. And your podcast?
Oh, the podcast you can find at Indie Alley.
And you have two of them, right?
That's right. Thanks for reminding me. And you can also find the other podcast at Nerds From. That's for the Nerds From the Underground podcast, which if you want to get our podcast, just subscribe to the Nerdy Legion.
There you go. Look at that. You're meshing it all in. That's awesome. See? So, all right. That's it for today. I will be back tomorrow morning, and then John and I will be back on Thursday. But thanks for listening. Everybody stay safe, and thanks a lot, Freddie. I really appreciate it.
Hey, I had a lot of fun.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listen to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.